Hello, I'm Pastor Tracy Wilson. My wife and I, along with the Real Gospel Missionary Baptist Church family, welcome you to this week's podcast. We hope that our service will be a blessing to you and your family.
Praise the Lord, saints of the Most High God. Praise the Lord, saints of the Most High God. Somebody put your hands together and give God some praise. God is an awesome God. God is a tremendous God. And you can get personal with it. God is your God. He's your God. He's my God. He's our God. And for that, we give him praise. How many of you would understand the fact that this is the day that the Lord hath made? And so therefore, we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us come into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. God is just so good. He's so good that he's done just everything for us. For everybody who's gone through this week, maybe you've gone through some trials, maybe you've gone through some tribulations, maybe you had a little trouble here, maybe you had a little drama there, but how many of you know that if you still have breath in your body, you're making it? And for that, we need to give God some praise. We praise God for bringing us through. He'll bring us through, won't he? Why? Because he does exceedingly abundantly and above those things that we can either ask or think. It's so good to be here before you. I want to say hello to each and every one of you who are in the building. Hello to each and every one of you that are out there in cyberland, whether you be on Facebook, whether you be on YouTube, whether you're listening to the podcast. It's a great morning. It's Cleveland, Ohio. It's great weather, and I'm happy about it. Is anybody happy about it? Now, it might snow tomorrow. You never know. It might snow tomorrow, but today is a good day. Hallelujah. Well, it's time to get into the Word of God. I want to say again, good morning to each and every one of you, to our visitors who have come. Thank you for coming. Monet, you did a great job praying. Didn't she do a great job praying? Didn't she do a great job singing? Amen. Her grandparents are in the house. God bless you both. God bless you. Thank you for coming. I see Guy West is in the house. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. All right. Without any further ado, we're going to get into the very Word of God. If you have your Bible, we're going to be reading a very familiar passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter number 6. That's the book of Ephesians chapter number 6. We're going to be reading verses 10 through 13. And then we'll read that together in unison. And then for our Scriptures we're going to preach from, we're going to be in Mark chapter 1. So Ephesians chapter number 6, if you could ready your Bible. Ephesians chapter number 6, verses 10 through 13. Hallelujah. Once you found the scripture, if you'd be kind enough to stand to your feet, that we might be able to read the Word of God together. Amen. Praise God. So good to see everybody out there. Amen. Brother Guy knows the drill. Amen. He's ready. Amen. Praise God. He's worthy to be praised. All right, everybody found the scripture. Hallelujah. Lift your Bible over your head. Repeat after me if you can and if you like. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
This is God's word unto me.
All that it says I am.
I am.
All that it says I possess.
I possess.
I thank you, Lord,
for your written word.
I thank you, Lord.
I didn't make up this word.
But I believe your word.
For you declared in your word
that your word
is a lamp unto my feet
and a light unto my path.
Hide your word
in my heart
that I might not
sin against you.
Amen. Remain standing so we can read the scriptures together. That's Ephesians chapter number 6, verses 10 through 13. Let's read on the count of three. One, two, three. Let us read. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You may be seated in this place. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you, we praise you, we honor you, Father God. We're going to declare your name, Lord, in this body, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for last night's lying down. We thank you, Father God, for allowing us to come into your sanctuary one more time. And now, Father God, I'm praying for preaching power, Lord. I'm praying for anointing from on high, Father God, that I might be infused, Father God, with the power, Lord, to declare your word, Lord, that this world might know, Lord, that you yet and still live. We thank you, Father God, and we bless your name, Father God. And we ask, oh, Father God, that all the technology work, Lord, according to your will and according to your way, Father. And we pray, Father God, that you would rebuke the fowler, the devil, that old serpent, that dragon, rebuke him in the name of Jesus, that we might be able, Father God, to go higher in you. We thank you for all you've done, all you're doing, and all you're doing, Father God, if you allow tomorrow to happen. We praise your name, Father God, and we lift you high for it in advance. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen, and thank God. Hallelujah. Today we're going to start a new topic, hallelujah. Today we're going to talk about, and it's still under the guise of the umbrella that the Lord has given with spiritual maturity, but today we're going to talk about deliverance from demons, hallelujah. It's going to be a little rough subject, but I believe it's going to be all right. Deliverance from demons. We're going to talk about disembodied spirits. What does it mean to have a disembodied spirit? What does it mean to be delivered? We're going to get into the Word of God. But as we set a premise for this particular message, one particular verse that I wanted to clue in on when we were just reading together, we talked about, hallelujah, being able to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to withstand what, hallelujah, the wicked devices or the wiles of the devil. And we talk about spiritual armor and things of that nature. But one of the things that I needed to note is the fact that we don't wrestle what against flesh and blood. So the physicality, hallelujah, that's not what you're wrestling against. Your neighbor that you see with the natural eye is not your enemy, hallelujah. But oftentimes we find ourselves fighting against people, and that's what the devil wants. The devil loves when we fight against people because he loves to be in the shadows. He loves to be undetected. That he might cause us to fall out with one another, and he walks away scot-free. But we know the Bible says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities. Hallelujah. Powers. Rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, thank you, Jesus, in high places. That's our battle. And also I wanted to mention that in 2 Corinthians, I believe in chapter number 10, it talks about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Carnality meaning worldly, again, denoting that the weapons that we face are not physical, but they're mighty through God, through the pulling down of what? Of strongholds. Again, when you talk about a stronghold, you're talking about principalities that have been set up. And so we have to understand that the fight for the Christian is a spiritual battle, and you can't let your flesh trick you into thinking your battle is against your neighbor. Is that good? All right, hallelujah. And so we're going to get into the Word of God and talk about this, hallelujah, from the perspective of Mark chapter number 1. Go to Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's the gospel according to St. Mark chapter number 1. And we're going to begin in verse 21. Hallelujah. But there's one more preamble that I need to mention, church, and that when we look at things from an old covenant or an Old Testament standpoint, understand the fact that God, hallelujah, gave his people power over the enemy. Hallelujah. Yes, he did. He gave his people power over the enemy. Hallelujah. Let's go to the book. Keep your finger there. Hallelujah. It's Bible study a little bit. Go to Joshua chapter number 21. Joshua chapter number 21. We're going to flip back to Mark, but we're going to go to Joshua right now. Joshua chapter number 21. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read here verse 43 and 44. That's Joshua chapter number 21, verses 43 through 44. The Bible says, and the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. 44 says, and the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Hallelujah. And so what are we talking about here? We're talking about the entrance of the children of Israel from an Old Testament standpoint into the land of Canaan. We know that, hallelujah, Moses was dead, and then we know that Joshua took over the reins and he led the people safely over the Jordan that they may be able to go in to possess the land that was filled with milk and honey. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And so what transpired in this particular verse is that God had promised, hallelujah, that everywhere where their inheritance was, that God would drive out the enemy. I want you to note that from an Old Testament perspective, church, he drove out the enemy physically, hallelujah. They would go in, hallelujah, and defeat the enemy. They would kill the enemy, hallelujah, and therefore the enemy would be driven out, hallelujah. But how many of you know that there's a difference between being in the natural and being in the spirit? It's one thing to kill a body, hallelujah, but it's a whole nother thing when you're dealing with spirits. How many of you would understand the fact that from an Old Testament perspective, that the laws that were given, hallelujah, by and large, they were natural laws, even though they were given by a spiritual God. And it's only when you get into the New Testament that those natural laws would then be fulfilled by Jesus, and Jesus would give a spiritual connotation for a natural law that God made, because there was no law within the Old Covenant that dealt with the Holy Ghost. There was no law within that Old Testament that dealt with grace. Hallelujah. But we see that the laws were given through the Father, because we know that through the law was given by Moses, the Bible says in John 1, but grace and truth was given through Jesus Christ. So I want to draw the difference between Old Testament law in the natural, which no man could keep, and then now the spiritual laws that Christ has given by the fulfillment of the law that the Father first gave. I don't want to lose anybody. Everybody good there? Because you see here that from an Old Testament perspective, the way that God had his people handle their enemies was he would drive out the enemy by killing the enemy, by killing the body. Hallelujah. But when you get into the New Testament, hallelujah, Jesus said, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. And so Jesus doesn't advocate the same type of approach that's advocated by the Father in the Old Testament. But Jesus, hallelujah, knows that to denote your enemy in the New Testament perspective, we're talking about an enemy that is spiritual. Am I talking to somebody? Hallelujah. So what am I saying here? I'm saying, again, Old Testament, natural, and in the natural, the way you drove out your enemy, and God gave the promise in the Old Testament that my God, Joshua, guess what? I'm going to take care of all your enemies. I'll drive them out. But from a New Testament perspective, the way Jesus dealt with the enemies was in the spirit. Everybody got it? Hallelujah. So you can see that differentiation between Old and New Testament. You got one hint in the Old Testament in a couple of different places of how God dealt, hallelujah, with giving out his spirit. We know that the spirit was given out to individuals that they might be anointed to do a great work for God. We know that Jehaziel had the spirit of God, and the spirit of God spoke through him. Hallelujah. We know that Saul had at one point the spirit of God, right? When he was the first king, hallelujah, for the Israelites. But something happened when Saul sinned. We know that the same spirit that came upon him, God took that Holy Spirit away, and it was replaced with an evil spirit. I hope somebody's following me here. And so how did the evil spirit come? It came because God lifted off of, hallelujah, Saul, the Holy Spirit, and then replaced it with an evil spirit. Remember when he would operate in the evil spirit, that sometimes when David would come and play the harp, hallelujah, the harp would drive that evil spirit away. I just want to give somebody a little nugget to let you know, hallelujah, if the atmosphere is filled with evil spirits, all it takes is a little bit of worship. All it takes is a little bit of praise, and you can drive that devil away. That's why when we come in the church, there's all kind of spirits that come in the church. But if we do praise and worship right, how many of you know we should enter into these gates with thanksgiving? We can enter into his courts with praise, and we can drive that spirit of the devil out. Hallelujah. Because where the spirit of the Lord is, hallelujah, there is, hallelujah, victory. There's triumph. There's everything that we need. There's liberty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I wanted to get that out so you can see the difference between Old and New Testament. So now let's deal with the enemy, hallelujah, in the New Testament. Because from the Old Testament, the children of God were given a promise that God, as long as they stayed with God, as long as they did the things God told them to do, that God would drive away the physical enemy. How many of you know that the same thing is afforded unto us? When we walk in the things of God, God will drive the spiritual enemy away. The Bible says, hallelujah, submit yourself therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he shall what? He's going to flee. The devil is not a physical being, no, but spiritual. And we got to learn how to deal, hallelujah, with our spiritual enemies. Can I talk for a little bit? Even before I get into it, I feel something charging my spirit. How many of you know, hallelujah, that the enemy, that he comes in many forms, You can have anger that is unkindled, anger that you haven't dealt with. And how many of you know you can get so mad, my goodness, that you start to stew in that thing, and anger can lead to wrath. Wrath is when sometimes you cuss somebody out, you don't even know what you're saying, hallelujah. It's kind of like an out-of-body experience. Am I talking to some real people here where you got so mad, you can't even tell me everything you did while you were mad because another spirit operated in you? I know you got the Holy Ghost, but how many of you know you can yield to the things of God, or you can yield to the things of the enemy? Because demon oppression is real. That's when the demons come and they begin to whisper in your ear. They'll whisper things like, I can't believe you're going to allow her to do that without no comeback. I can't believe her. You ought to go do this. You ought to go do that. Don't you think that you came up with those ideas in your mind in an isolated situation? Understand that there's a real devil trying to get you to amp up. There's a real devil trying to get you to go there. There's a real devil that wants you to operate in the flesh, hallelujah, and not in the spirit. Am I talking to somebody? So it can come in the form of anger. It can come in the form of loneliness. You are so lonely. You want your bed to be warm. You want to talk to people, but there's nobody around. And through that loneliness, how many of you know that enemy can come whisper in your ear and try to get you to do things that are not pleasing in the sight of God? Try to get you to hook up with somebody you know you shouldn't hook up with. Try to get you to hook up with yourself. I'll leave that alone. Try to get you to do some things that are not conducive to the children of God doing the things of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So you got to understand that that's what the enemy wants to do. The enemy wants to corrupt. There's so much corruption that happens in this world, and it's dealing with devilish influence, demonic influence. You turn on your TV, there's so many references to the occult. There's so many references to perverted living. It's all around you. But for the Christian, we got to understand that greater is he that's what? In us than he that is in the world. But you got to know, hallelujah, that the only way that the devil can be defeated is through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. It ain't your blood that's going to drive him away. It's only the blood of Jesus, the word of the testimony. He knows his time is short, but he's trying to wreck every family he can. He's trying to wreck every individual he can. He wants to tear us up. He wants to divide us. He wants to destroy us. But Jesus has come that we might have life, and we might have that life more abundantly. So if we see what Jesus said, if we experience and look at what he's done, then we can have victory. Because too many of us, even hallelujah Christians, are still fighting against flesh and blood. You will not win the battle fighting against flesh and blood. Again, your brother or your sister is not your enemy. The devil and his imps and his witches and his warlocks, hallelujah, they're your enemy. Somebody get it now? Hallelujah. You tried to make it plain. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So let's turn to Mark chapter 1. Let's see how Jesus dealt with it. Now, according to the harmony of the Gospels, which chronologically details the events of Christ, hallelujah, the first thing that I saw in the scriptures where Jesus dealt, hallelujah, specifically with the demon is in Mark, hallelujah, Hallelujah. Chapter number 1. And that story is also in the book of Luke. In Mark chapter number 1, verse 21, the Bible says, and they went into Capernaum. And straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. Hallelujah. We got Jesus here. Hallelujah. Coming via Capernaum. And he's going into the temple to teach. You can't tell me that on God's day that you're not supposed to teach the word of God. I know we come, hallelujah, we got traditions. We'll do Bible study on Wednesday, but how many of you know it's all right to teach God's word anytime you come in the presence of the saints and in the presence of the Most High God? The Bible said that Jesus went into the temple to teach. Hallelujah. Now, from a natural standpoint, he was not the high priest. He was Jesus of Nazareth. He was Jesus that lived in Galilee, because the rest of the folks did not realize who he really was. Hallelujah. But the Bible says on the Sabbath, they entered into the synagogue and he began to teach. The Bible said, and they were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Hallelujah. We need to take note of how he taught them. Hallelujah. They were amazed at his teaching. But you got to understand something about Christ Jesus. We know that when he started his ministry at about the age of 30, that he was full of the Holy Spirit. And we know that he was given the Spirit, I'll mention it, as much as the Lord tells me, without measure. That means that he was overflowing in the very Spirit of God. And so we understand why the people were amazed, because he had the teaching gift. Hallelujah. And he taught not like the scribes. A scribe was somebody that would take the scroll and sometimes rewrite what is written into another document. They would basically read the word of God. But how many of you know that the word of God is alive? Ooh, I feel God. Thank you for that. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Hallelujah. And so, yes, you can read the word of God. And by reading the word of God, there's power. Because when God sends a word out, it will not return void. But how many of you understand that when you embody the word of God, when God gives you revelatory knowledge, that means he'll reveal his word. And you start to get the rhema of the word and not just the letter of the word, then you can wield the word as a weapon. I feel God in here. And so we see that Jesus differentiates himself from the scribes. He's different than the scribes. And the reason he's different than the scribes is the scribes could read the word of God, but Jesus is the word of God. He's the embodiment of the word of God, and he's full of the Spirit. It wasn't guaranteed that the scribes were full of the Spirit, but Jesus was full of the Spirit, and that means, hallelujah, that the Holy Ghost was all in him in order, hallelujah, to teach and to break the yoke. Because you got to understand that when you have the Holy Spirit, you can remove burdens. When you got the Holy Spirit, you can destroy yokes. And if your burdens ain't removed and your yokes ain't destroyed, that's when you come to church one way and leave the same way. But when your burdens are removed and yokes are destroyed, how many of you know that that's liberating? It's liberating, because the believer comes in one way but leaves out different. Am I talking to somebody who's ever had a breakthrough? Am I talking to somebody that God has got that devil up off of your back? You got to know why. Because Jesus said it best. Thank you, Holy Ghost. In Luke 4:18, didn't he? He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has what? Anointed me with the Holy Ghost. He's anointed me to preach the good news or the gospel to the poor. But there's another verse in there that says that he delivers those from their captives. Oh, wait. That means he'll deliver you from your captives. Hallelujah. With a strong arm. In the Old Testament, God delivered, hallelujah, the children of Israel from Egypt with a strong arm. He did miracles, signs, and wonders. And Pharaoh had to do what? Had to let them go. In the Babylonian captivity, Assyrian captivity, God has always elevated and lifted up his people. But from a New Testament perspective, Jesus is going to show how we can fight in the Spirit. Old Testament, everybody didn't know how to do spiritual warfare. God would speak his words, hallelujah, and to the leader, and the leader would have much success. New Testament's a new game. Why? Because everybody under the sound of my voice has a right to go to the holies of holies. You ain't got to wait for the pastor to go in your home and tell that devil to leave. You can say, in the name of Jesus, I declare under the authority that you've given me, God, devil, you got to go. Get up off of my son. Get up off of my daughter. Get up off of my husband. Get up off of my wife. You will take your hands off. I plead the blood of Jesus right now over my family. I declare, God, I shall not die, but I'm going to live, and I'm going to declare your works, Lord. Somebody give him some praise for deliverance. There's a difference between New Testament and Old Testament. Old Testament, I fought with a physical sword. New Testament, I got the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I feel like preaching in this place today. Let me tell you something about demons. Demons love to go undetected. Yes, that's what they want to do. Demons or disembodied spirits, they're looking for a body. We'll talk about it maybe in a couple of weeks. The scriptures that will back that up. But they're looking for a body. They're looking for a host. I feel Jesus in here. Can I explain it a little differently so that somebody can understand? Thank you, Holy Ghost. How many of you know in that battle of Ukraine, a lot of the people are refugees leaving the area. And one of the things that America is trying to do is, it's saying for those families that are in distress, we need somebody, hallelujah, to sponsor them, or somebody to be a host. If you're a host, you'll bring somebody in. That's what it is. You'll bring them in, and you will host them, or you will take care of them, or you will provide a roof over their head, and you will help them in their time of need. Don't you know a disembodied spirit? Hallelujah. All he's looking for is a host. Ooh, I feel Jesus. He's looking for somebody's body that he can occupy. And everybody he can't occupy, but if he can't occupy, he wants to be like a tick or be like a flea. He'll ride shotgun with you. That means by your side. He'll ride on your back if he can. Yes, he is. One thing about ticks and fleas, they know how to dig in when they find a food source. And so you gotta know that's how a demon wants to do. He wants to attach himself to you. There's some things in your life, hallelujah, that if you look back, they caused your trauma. They caused your pain. And every time you think about it, something comes over you. You better watch out. It may not be just your emotion. It might be a demon attached to that situation. Because every time we go through trauma, you gotta deal with it. When you go through trauma as a child, oftentimes you'll suppress it. You'll push it down. But the devil loves to know where people are weak. He loves to go in the cracks and in the crevices and in the things of your life that cause you pain. Get divorced, okay? You might not like your husband or your wife no more, but how many of you know the demon wants to come to make you hate them? The demon wants to come to sow a root of bitterness. That's why when your son looks like the daddy that you ain't with no more, you might go off on him for no reason. That ain't just you. That's a demon trying to ride shotgun with you, to try to exacerbate the wound that you might not be in the spirit, but he wants you in the flesh. Am I talking about it? Hallelujah. We got to deal with these demons, because demons, they don't want to be exposed. No, they don't. They want it, because if they're not exposed, they can continue to remain. If you had a problem in your house where your basement had water all in it, you're flooded. How many of you know it might dry up, but when it rains again, it might flood again. Until you determine the source of where the water is getting in, you're going to continually have a problem. It's time for Christians to say, wait a minute, I'm tired of going through the same things. Hallelujah. God, show me the root. Show me the source that I might be able to deal with it. If your basement is flooded, oftentimes a real good company, when they come out, most of the times it's a remedy, because there's something with a crack in it, something with a hole in it, in your foundation. And when your foundation is cracked, and when your foundation is leaking, how many of you know when it rains, the water comes down, seeps through the soil, rests down at the foundation of your house, and now what was on the outside, it comes on the inside. That's what demons like to do. They're looking for a crack. They're looking for a crevice. They're looking for an area that you have not shored up in the things of God. They're looking for a situation that you have not given to God. That's what they'll do. Yes, they will. And they'll creep on into your house and flood your house and mess up your foundation. But let me tell you what they do. After they mess you up and you go to God, when God steps in, the demon has to go away. But if you don't shore up that area, he'll be back. And that's why a good company that got foundational issues detected in your house, they're going to dig all around that house. Hallelujah. Go down to the very footers of the cornerstone of your house to make sure that the leaks are sealed. They'll seal it with some tar. Am I talking to somebody? They'll seal it. How many of you know, for the believer, you got to be sealed until the day of redemption with the Holy Ghost. You got to have the Holy Ghost in order to fight demons. You can't fight demons in your flesh. He'll laugh at you. He'll treat you like the sons of Sceva. You got to have the blood of Jesus, the word of God. And some of them ain't leaving unless you got prayer and fasting. Am I talking to somebody? But the demons do not want to be exposed. See, he'll try to tell you that that's just you. You got people in your family right now. Be like, girl, don't say this particular word to grandma. Grandma, go off. You say one word and she's going crazy. You say one word, she'll cuss you out. You say one word, she'll fight you. Why? That ain't just grandma. That's a spirit. I ain't talking about your grandma. I ain't saying she's demon possessed, but she just might be demon oppressed. Everybody in here, you fought the demons and you've had demons on you at one point or another. I ain't casting no bad things on nobody, but understand the point that demons go to and fro trying to get in. I'm not saying that everybody's been possessed by a demon, but I'm saying everybody's been oppressed by a demon. A demon has tried to attach himself to you. Hallelujah. That you might not do the things of God. Hallelujah. That was the opening. Now it's time to preach. I feel God in this place. Hallelujah. Mark chapter number 1, verse 21, we read. The Bible said, we read 22. He said they were astonished at his doctrine. His doctrine is his teaching. Again, he had the authority because he was full of the Holy Ghost. He didn't teach like a regular natural man. He taught, hallelujah, as the spiritual God that he was. The Bible says, and there was in the synagogue a man with what? An unclean spirit. You got to understand, you come to church to hide from the world, but the world comes into the church when people come in. Hallelujah. Did mama ever let you in? My mama used to, when we would come in from outdoors, we had a place in our house called the landing. We don't talk about that no more, but in that landing, there's a couple of things you're going to do. If you want to stay cool with mama and daddy, you're going to loose them shoes from your feet. Can I talk to somebody? My mama was home cleaning all day. She was a housewife for many, many years. And so, my goodness, what you're not going to do is, you're not going to track in the outdoors all up and through her house. There was a place called the landing. You come in through the door. I'm 56, but I remember it like it was yesterday. Come in that door. Hallelujah. Wipe them feet. Hallelujah. Take off them shoes. Hallelujah. That's what you do. Go up 3 steps. Now you're in the kitchen. Didn't have a big home, but it had everything that we needed. Now we got so much space in the home. Hallelujah. We seem to forget what mama taught us. I feel God in here. We walking all, chomping all through our house with his shoes on, doing what we want to do. And you know you wasn't raised that way. I feel God in here. Maybe this is a commercial break, but you take them shoes off. Hallelujah. You better put them neat on that step or on the landing. Hallelujah. Because my mama was quick to say, don't you leave them shoes in the middle of my floor. But I was one smart kind of kid because my daddy was always at work and mama was at home. And I say, mama, technically, my shoes aren't in the exact middle of the floor. That'll get you a smack, and that'll get your daddy to come whoop your behind. Oh, yeah, I learned. I got webs to prove it. Oh, y'all want to see some scars? My God, I'm just playing with y'all. What am I talking about? I got some scars, hallelujah, some emotional scars. When you're crying, yeah. It ain't nothing worse than double jeopardy when mama gets you, and then daddy come home and get you. You'll be like, wait a minute, I already went to court for that one. Wait a minute, I already got charged for that one.
going, wait a minute, I've already been sentenced. I went through my punishment. Mama already wore me out, but daddy wanted to make sure that when he wore you out, you wouldn't do it no more. Am I talking to somebody? Maybe it's me, but there was a certain way that you had to come in the house. But the Bible says here that when Jesus was in that particular synagogue, there was a man in there with an unclean spirit. Some people come into the house of God with an unclean spirit. Don't you get upset about that fact. That's a good thing, because if you got an unclean spirit, one of the best things you can do is come into God's house, that the thing that's on you can get disrupted and get up off you. Am I talking to somebody? But how is it that the enemy always wants us to continue to travel with him? And so what he'll do is this. He'll try to make you think it's just part of your personality. He'll try to make you think you don't have enough power to fight him. He'll try to make you think that you're going to be in this particular state for the rest of your life. But you got to know that God's word will liberate. You got to know that when Jesus came and was in teaching in that synagogue, that somebody had an unclean spirit that was right in his midst. The Bible says that one with the unclean spirit, that he began to cry out, hallelujah, because you got to know something. My goodness, when Jesus comes on the scene, everything that's not like him, you got to understand it has to go. It has to be exposed. The enemy, the evil spirit does not want to be exposed. The evil spirit does not want to be explained. The evil spirit does not want to be expelled. Hallelujah. We'll talk about it in some coming weeks. But the Bible says here, the evil spirit cried out saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? I want you to note, hallelujah, that the evil spirit knew exactly who Jesus was. You better understand something. Jesus is different. He's not like the scribes. Jesus is different. He's not like the chief priests. He's not like the Pharisees or the Sadducees. He's different. And how many of you know they know him by the Spirit? How many of you know you can't know him unless you have the Spirit? Because by the Spirit, you'll know who he is, who he says he is. And he didn't even have to declare anything. The enemy knew. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So the enemy now has now exposed himself because of the great power of God. He exposes himself. Hallelujah. As Jesus was in, hallelujah, the synagogue. The Bible says, he said, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? Because they know, hallelujah, that Jesus got power. They know, hallelujah. You got to know something about Jesus. Hallelujah. He said to his disciples in Luke chapter number 10, he said, I beheld Satan, hallelujah, fall from heaven like lightning. You got to understand. He said that to his disciples. When did that happen? That happened, hallelujah, before he came on his advent at earth. Hallelujah. So demons tremble at the name of Jesus because they know that they were exposed, hallelujah, hallelujah, and they were expelled from heaven, hallelujah, with a mighty hand called Christ Jesus. So they know exactly who he is. I feel God in here. God knows, hallelujah. And the enemy knows who Jesus is right here. The demons knew it. He said, if you come to destroy us, I know thee who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Demons know who's on the Lord's side. They know who they can pick with. And they know some folk, when God stepped in, they got to vacate the premises. I feel Jesus in here. The Bible says, and Jesus did what? He rebuked them, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. Hallelujah. He gives a directive. He gives a commandment. And the commandment was, you got to come out that man. The Bible says, and I want you to imagine yourself being in the temple on the day that Jesus did this. He said, and when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out. That person was going through convulsions. And all Jesus said is, come out of him. Hallelujah. Just through the word of God, that demon, hallelujah, that was possessing that man, that unclean spirit, it had to vacate. It had to go. Why? Because God said to go. Hallelujah. Now, I know we we got a lot of Christians in here. And because we got Christians, we know that God has the power. That ain't never the issue. Usually the issue is, the fact is, will God do it for you? Usually the issue is that, yeah, Jesus got the power, but I ain't got the power. But don't you know God has given us authority? Don't you know that? The devil's not going to recite that to you. Don't you know that through the blood of Jesus, hallelujah, you have the authority, the exousia power. That means delegated authority. That means for the born again believer, God has given us power to be able to speak the word in his name. Am I talking to somebody? I know we don't like to talk about demons. People get spooked out, but you better be able to declare some things in your home or you will get, that demon will come. And I'll tell you, they come in different forms. They may come as shadows. You might say something just darted across your eyes. And that's something, hallelujah. It wasn't no floater in your eye. It may have been a demon in your house scooting across the room. Am I talking to somebody? I ain't trying to scare y'all out in Cyberland. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. You'll see some shadows. Some people see things more clearly. They come in different types of ways. Come on now. You got to know. Sometimes it'll come. It'll manifest in a person. Hallelujah. Never remember. Never forget. Driving on a couple of occasions, coming to a light, I look over at the other person and their face contorts. That's God trying to show me that demons are everywhere. I ain't trying to scare nobody, but next time you see somebody's body contort, next time you see somebody make a face with you that looks like pure D hell, that just might be a demon occupying that body, and you got to know what to do with it. I told y'all some years ago, downtown in the arcade, man approached me, came up to me, and I said, "Hey, how you doing, sir?" And he started saying, "Hey, yeah, yeah." I'm like, "Oh my goodness, what's wrong with this dude?" He's like, "Yeah." He started acting crazy. The first thing that came to mind, hallelujah, instead of being physical with him, hallelujah, I said, "In the name of Jesus, get out of here." He said, "Jesus, Jesus, ah!" And he ran on off. I learned right then that there's power in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. I didn't have to exude, throwing up no hands. You ain't got to do that. You ain't got to draw no sword. Not in this day. Put your sword back in your seat, because if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. But if you use the name of Jesus, hallelujah, demons got to flee. I know it for myself. You got to know it for yourself. Hallelujah. Start off in your home. Get you a little bit of oil and say, "God, change this avocado oil. Change this Wesson oil. Change the kind of oil you got. Change it from a carnal use into a spiritual use." And you better anoint your doors. Walk around with the authority and the power that God has given you. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "Hold that peace and come out." That unclean spirit tore him, cried with a loud voice, and had to come out. And they were all amazed. Those are the people that were watching, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What's going on?" You didn't see a lot of that in the Old Testament, didn't you? People would die by the physical sword, but now you see what a spiritual battle looks like. Remember, God gave his people the power to be able to conquer physical enemies. They come in and they kill them. But now God has given through his son what it means to have spiritual power. You speak to those demons in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You say, "Well, he didn't say in the name of Jesus." Because he said, "I am that I am." He ain't got to say his name. There's already power in him. The Bible says, "What kind of doctrine is this? What new teaching is this?" He said, "For with authority he commanded even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." They got to go. Don't you weeping may endure for a night, but we know joy comes in the morning. Don't you let that devil have you crying every single day because of the things that he's doing in your life. Wipe those tears and go to God and say, "God, avenge me of my enemy. My enemy ain't my mama. My enemy ain't my daddy. My enemy ain't my brother. My enemy ain't my sister. My enemy is every demon, every witch and warlock, every imp, hallelujah, every disembodied spirit that's coming to vex me, that's coming to mess with me." The Bible says here that they realize, because anytime Jesus speaks, how many of you know that when he teaches and when he preaches, there's some things that follow: miracles, signs, and wonders. You're seeing a miracle right here. He's giving you a sign of how to deal with the devil in the future, hallelujah, and it will cause you to have wonder, because there's a wonderful thing done in their sight. I feel Jesus in here. He said, hallelujah, he said, and immediately his fame spread throughout all the region round about Galilee. Because when God does a miracle, it's for his name to be known. When God does something special, it's for somebody to carry that word, somebody to carry that testimony, just to show and tell the world how powerful God is. It's time to finish now. And so when I think about it, we got to know in this first chapter, this first installment of deliverance from demons, you got to hold tight to Jesus. Hallelujah. If you don't know how to speak his word, you pray to God. And sometimes God will step in front of you and fight that battle from that particular vantage point. But if you do know God, God will work through you. See, he can step out in front of you or he can work through you. But in both instances, if he steps out in front of you, the devil got to deal with him before he can deal with you. If he steps through you, it's still you saying what God would tell you to say. It's you doing what God would tell you to do. It's still God being out front in the battle. Don't you run to the enemy. You let God propel you. He'll tell you where to go through ordered steps. Don't you negotiate with the enemy. Don't you talk. Some people get bold with it. We'll talk about it maybe next week if next week comes. Hallelujah. But some people get bold with it and they start to tiptoe and get into the flesh when they're dealing with the devil because they know, hallelujah, that the devil is subject to Christ. Don't you do that. Don't you get the big head. You better say, thank you, Lord, for the power. But better yet, Lord, thank you that my name is written in heaven. Am I talking to somebody? Because having that type of power and having that type of authority, it can go to your head. But if you remember that without Christ, you're nothing. If you remember without him, you're dead. If you remember that without Christ, the devil would fillet me like a fish, then you'll understand that with him, you got power. That with him, you can be delivered. That with him, you can triumph. That with him, you got the victory. Am I talking to somebody? Hallelujah. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, my prayer is that any demonic force that's trying to attack the people of God, whether they're looming around. You ever have a gnat? Gnats loom around. I hate gnats. I thank God for Lisa Stewart. She told me how to get rid of gnats a long time ago. You probably don't remember that. I said, I got gnats. She said, Pastor, what you got to do is get you some apple cider vinegar and put a little dishwashing liquid in it. Them gnats going to come right in. They're going to die. I did it. It worked. I don't know if I ever thanked you, but that was years ago. Years ago, I can't take gnats. I like bananas, but I can't take gnats. I love fruit, but I can't take gnats. Because gnats, they quick. They be going all around. Some little things like gnats, they love, they feed off of and they're drawn to the CO that comes out your mouth. Oh, come on. We take in what? We take in air, right? And we breathe out carbon monoxide, right? And they're drawn to that. They'll fly around you. Oh, my God. You try to get them. You can't get them. Oh, my God. I mean, it's just horrible. And so we got rid of them gnats. But that's the enemy. Because sometimes you could get worn down. You say, I ain't nothing but a couple of gnats. I ain't going to worry about it. No. Don't you ever get tired of fighting for your freedom. Don't you get tired of eliminating somebody that's in your house that's not authorized to be in your house. Your body is the temple of God's Holy Spirit. And we got to eradicate everything that's not like him. Whether it's inside or outside, let's rid ourselves. And so my prayer is that the enemy will be exposed. Father, in the name of Jesus, expose the enemy, Father God. Expose, Father God, any demon, Lord. Expose, oh, Father God, any familiar spirit that's attached itself, Lord, to your believers. Whether it be through the lineage, Lord, mama had it, daddy had it, or grandfather or grandmother had it, Lord. Every demonic lust spirit, Lord. Every lying spirit, Lord. Every spirit of perversion, Lord. Expose it in the name of Jesus. Explain it in the name of Jesus. And then expel it in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray, Lord, that people will be accountable, Lord. That the things that they have fear of, oh, Father God, that they will be able, Father God, to understand. I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that not only will you, Father God, expose the enemy, Lord, but, Father God, let the people know, Lord, that they have help in you, Lord. Let them cry out unto you, Lord.
And Father God, I pray, Lord, that you would step in front of all of us, Lord, and fight that good fight of faith, Lord. Father God, there's somebody right now, Lord, being haunted by the past, oh Lord. Father God, expose that enemy, Lord, that demon, Lord. And Father, we declare, Lord, we rebuke the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. You got to let the people of God go that we might be free. In the same way, thank you, Jesus, that the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. And God said, let them go that they might worship me upon the mount. It's the same way that when the enemy has us in bondage, spiritual bondage, that the Lord is saying, let my people go that they might worship me. I thank you, Lord, and I praise you for it. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and thank God. Amen. Hallelujah. Saints, to have victory, when the Lord identifies an area of your life, because we're not going to have formal altar call here at this service because we've got to get ready for next service. But when the enemy is identified, there's some things you're going to have to denounce. This ain't just for y'all. This is for me, too. We've been dealing in our family with witches trying to get in. Oh, this is real. Real witches trying to get in. And I'm like, Lord, what's going on? And the Lord showed me. The game I've been playing for years, it had a new installment. It's a game called Destiny. And Destiny, I fight as a guardian. You're fighting good against evil. But the new installment that I played started in February was called The Witch Queen. And in this installment, as a guardian, you go in and you have to disrupt the worship services of the Witch Queen. I'm thinking I'm just playing a game. I finished the game. I won the game. Won the battle, didn't win the war. And the Lord showed me that was a portal. Because how many of you know, oftentimes for the enemy to get in, he has to be invited. I feel Jesus in here. Don't y'all walk out yet. Don't walk out. I want to give you the word. That means that sometimes you have to open up the door. That's why anger that's unkindled is dangerous. Because the enemy will say, come in, I'll make you feel better, and you'll let him in. You say, well, I ain't never had a conversation. But you got so upset that you went to the club, you went to the bar, and you ingested spirits. That's why when people get drunk, all types of things come out in them. Because it's not just the physical alcohol, it's spirits that want to ride with a buddy pass. Because in order, hallelujah, to occupy somebody, oftentimes you want to impair their mind. You got to watch when you say, wait a minute, I need a drink to take off the edge. You got to watch when you say, I just need a little bud to take me away. You got to watch when somebody gives you a painkiller medication, which is typically an opioid. Some stuff will mess with you. You can hallucinate. And sometimes the hallucination, people will tell you of things that aren't there. But sometimes I believe it's things that are there that other people can't see. Some things are only seen through spiritual eyes. And if your mind is opened up, but you don't have power, the devil will treat you like Raggedy Ann. Throwing you everywhere. He'll toss you to and fro. And mess you up. Don't allow that portal to be open for you to get so angry that you let the devil in, that you would get so intrigued and curious that you're in porn so deep, because people that enter into that portal, they'll find themselves heterosexual and they might end up in bestiality. They might end up, oh yeah, in threesomes and foursomes. All those things are going on. It's enemies that are trying to get in. Started off lust with the eyes. Started off looking at porn. Ended up bisexual. Ended up pansexual. Ended up transsexual. Perversions. Some of them ride shotgun through mama, daddy, sister, or brother. They have kids. Now the kids have a proclivity to do.
those things that the parents do. Why? Because the sins of the father go down 3 and 4 generations. This world is set up to be conducive for the enemy. He's the prince of the power of the air. But as believers, we got the power through the Holy Ghost for the enemy to be exposed, explained, and expelled. So when you go home and you get in your prayer closet, ask the Lord if there's any demons that are attached or trying to attach themselves unto you. Watch what you watch on TV. Trust me. Watch what you bring in, because he's trying to gain access. Now, I don't believe that believers are demon possessed, but I believe they can be oppressed. And deliverance is real. You can put your hand on somebody's stomach and some things are going to come out. Oh. And that still can be oppression. It does not have to be. Oh, y'all got to understand. What realm is the enemy in when he's enemy? Okay, I'm going to leave that alone. That's for another realm. That's for another day. So my prayer is for those that are watching and hearing that this week that the Lord exposed some things, and you have to renounce and denounce some things that you've done. I renounced it. I deleted the game immediately. It was one of my favorite games. Deleted it. Got to go. Am I going to hold on to something that's trying to vex me and my family? When I preach, it starts here. I ain't nobody special. I'm a man. A man who's sinned. A man who's fallen short of his glory. But I know that Jesus lives. Anybody know your Redeemer lives? Anybody know it's not how you start, it's how you finish? Anybody know that you're on the road to glory? Anybody that knows that you're going to suffer for a while, but that's all right. Because God had to show me exactly what was trying to get into my house. Try to get in through a door I opened. Somebody comes up to my wife and hands her a business card of a witch. It's a witch. I see some things. I want to talk to you. Oh, you don't understand. This stuff is real. But all things work together for the good. I wouldn't be preaching about it if I didn't go through it. See, God allowed you to go through some things so that he might teach you about some things, so that he might take you higher in getting rid of the enemy that's trying to kill, steal, and destroy you. And so I thank God for every trial. I thank you, Lord, for every tribulation. I thank you, God, for every drama I've gone through. Hallelujah. And he ain't no respecter of persons. If he'll hook me up, he'll hook you up too. Let's leave this place by giving God some praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for victory. Remember, when he brings it up, don't you let that enemy try to tell you, oh, well, you know, when uncle did that to me and he touched me, it's okay. No, it ain't. Denounce it in the name of Jesus. Don't you dare. Hear me. Don't you dare say it was something that you did wrong. I don't care if you was a little girl walking around switching. Somebody taught you how to switch. Nobody should have to endure a grown man or a grown woman taking advantage of a child. It's not your fault. It's more than a sickness. It's demons that love to work in conjunction with the flesh. No matter what situation it's in. Maybe you say, I don't deal with none of that. But you find yourself with phobias. Fear doesn't come from God. He said, I didn't give you what? The spirit of fear. So fear is a spirit. Fear is not something you can see with your eyes. You can only see the manifestation of it when somebody yields to it. It's a spirit. A demonic spirit. So for those of you who don't talk about demons, they talk about demons. If you ever got afraid, that's a spirit. The enemy does not want to be exposed. If you're afraid of anything, afraid of going and getting that job God told you to get, afraid of moving and going to the city God told you to move to, afraid of getting married, hallelujah, afraid of letting your children go and do what God has called them to do, afraid, that's a spirit. And the devil never wants it to be detected. But today, we serve the enemy notice as I take my seats.
Enemy, you're exposed. Through the blood of Jesus, you will not stop us. Because we got a God that doesn't sleep. He don't slumber. Somebody's going to have a dream. And in your dream, hallelujah, you're going to have to call on Jesus. You ain't got to remember no scriptures. Just say Jesus, and that devil will go. Come back and tell us about it next week. Somebody, hallelujah, whether it be online or in here, somebody's going to have a dream. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Demons are going to try to get you. You just remember to call out Jesus. Say Jesus. Why? How do I know this? What scripture is it? Because it works for me. The word works if you work it. And come back and tell us about it so I know through confirmation. I know God told me what to say, but I want to see the confirmation too, Father. Hallelujah. So again, when the situation comes up where God identifies the demonic presence, and everybody got something that's either trying to get in, either latched on, or either within. Those are the three levels. Within, possession. On the outside, oppression. Trying to get in, knocking. Why does he do that? Because he tries to mimic God. I'll leave with this. Jesus said, what? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He don't force himself in, does he? He's a gentleman. Ain't that right? Hallelujah. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door unto me, I'll come in unto him, I'll sup with him, and him with me. The enemy tries to do the same thing. Behold, demons knock. If any man opens up the door, don't you take them drugs. If any man opens up the door, don't you let all that anger turn into wrath and strife and hatred. If anybody opens up the door, I hate people because I've been bullied. Why do you think people, they get bullied? They get so upset. They come and they blast everybody in the school. You know something about them changed. When they were getting bullied, they couldn't fight nobody. But when they opened up that portal and the devil said, I'll take away your pain. Do this, that, and the other. And they start to devise. Ooh, I can do this. Or ooh, I can do that. Now you got a plan. A person that never had, thank you, Holy Ghost, a person that never had the courage to fight his bullies now has this new courage. But it's perverted because he doesn't understand that he doesn't wrestle against flesh and blood. And so they devise a plan, get an AR-15, go shoot everybody up in the building. And oftentimes people that do that, they didn't take their own life. Because when the devil's done with using you, he'll tell you to kill yourself. And then he'll go to a new vessel. You better think about those pigs in the parlor with the spirits. Hallelujah. The demons went to the pigs. And what did the pigs do? They ran over the cliff edge and they drowned themselves. They're always looking for a new host. Judas Iscariot got paid 30 pieces of silver for turning in Jesus. After the deed was done, the devil's done with you. And when he's done with you, Judas, kill yourself. He hung himself upside down and his bowels burst out. How many times does somebody do a heinous crime and you hear about them killing themselves? You say, well, they were scared to go to jail. Fear comes from the devil. The devil will take you out. Why? Because his MO is to steal, kill, and destroy. God bless you. God keep you. Hallelujah. Amen. Again, we acknowledge, but we want to say everybody as you leave out, say hello to Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Amen. Monet's grandparents, can we put our hands together for them visiting? Amen. Thank you. Thank you for coming. I know it's a little rough in here today, but thank you for coming. I got to do God's will. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. When it's exposed, I'm telling you, denounce and renounce. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hello, and thank you again for listening. I'm Pastor Tracy Wilson. My wife and I, along with the Real Gospel Missionary Baptist Church family, thank you for joining us for today's podcast. We pray that something you heard makes a difference in your life. We invite you to join us again next week. And remember, let us not just be hearers of God's word, but doers of his word. We look forward to seeing you again next week. Stay blessed and don't stress.
To the enemies, not me or you, weapons are spiritual, they are not carnal.